Welcome to NARAL's The Morning After. Each Thursday, our podcast brings you the latest on reproductive health care, progressive politics, and the fight to keep abortion safe and legal. NARAL's The Morning After is a production of NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Pro-Choice OH. Enjoy the show!
Hey everyone, this is Gabe. Thanks for joining us this week. Jamie and Randy are both out of Central Ohio today, so I'm going to be bringing you something a little different. Don't worry, I'm not going to be mansplaining what happened this week. We've got some audio direct from the State House, so you'll be hearing what the legislators said themselves as the week unfolded. The big story, which we're sure you're aware about, is the House voted to concur with the Senate changes to the bill to defund Planned Parenthood. That means that this bill has now passed all the way through the legislature and is headed to Kasich's desk. The House could have voted on January 27th to sign the bill, but the Senate stalled by adding an amendment that didn't do anything significant, and then they delayed their January 27th session. That means that Kasich could have signed this bill before the New Hampshire primary, but they chose to delay the bill until after more moderate pro-choice voters in New Hampshire cast their ballots, and now he gets to use his signature on this bill as a way to open up his campaign in South Carolina. The floor debate on the bill opened up with Representative Bill Patman of Cleveland. He's one of the bill's main sponsors. He's also the only Democrat from either chamber to put his name on the bill. We'll hear some of his words as he opened up the floor debate.
I ask for your support in this bill that does two things. It says what 70% of the taxpayers already have said in Mr. Hyde's amendment from the Congress. And hopefully today, in what we say from here, the taxpayer dollars should not be used for therapeutic abortions. I hold no glee in having to do this in a country of the free and the brave.
Next to speak on the bill was Representative Kathleen Clyde.
This bill diverts grant dollars from any organization, not just Planned Parenthood, which provides rape and dating violence education, cancer care, infertility prevention, HIV/AIDS service, and infant mortality prevention, if that organization even mentions abortion as an option to women. The fact that these grants do not actually relate to abortive services does little to dissuade HB 294's proponents from pushing this bill forward. A witness for the Columbus Health Department testified to the Senate Government Oversight and Reform Committee that House Bill 294 will have, quote, a significant and negative impact on local health departments and their ability to coordinate with hospitals on other critical public health functions.
Representative Sears supports the bill and feels that it's going to bring positive change to women's health.
Mr. Speaker, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak on House Bill 294, what probably is the largest singular bill that will help women's health issues that we'll do in this General Assembly. This bill allows us to provide additional access to women when it comes to health, their health care, to over 250 additional more facilities that they have the ability to use and to access for their health care needs.
Representative Amelia Sykes, however, feels that the bill is only shifting around existing dollars because it doesn't actually allocate any new funds through this new Senate amendment.
As a strong proponent of public health and as a member of the public health community, I find it quite unfortunate that a discussion of infant mortality has found its way into a bill to defund Planned Parenthood. The Senate amendment, which provides for additional funding to assist federally qualified health centers, but that's not new funding, it's just shifting funding from an existing women and children's services. Now, on its face, the amendments seem pretty good. We get some additional money to federally qualified health centers. We allow WIC clinics and other facilities to do presumptive eligibility. But when we really talk about infant mortality, when we really break down those numbers, you can see how that is woefully inadequate in dealing with the infant mortality crisis that we have today. Infant mortality, as all of you probably know, is the death of a child before he or she reaches his or her first birthday. We have tried to unpack all of the reasons why the infant mortality rate is so much higher for Black children than it is for white children. And if you've ever sat in any of the meetings on the Ohio Commission or Task Force on Infant Mortality, you would hear conversations that talked somewhat about healthcare options and what it's like to get access to care and what doctor does what and progesterone shots and on and on and on. But most of the conversation talks about social determinants of health. In fact, the commission has decided they're going to take on housing as an issue because that becomes one of the biggest problems when we're talking about infant mortality. Along with housing, there are other social determinants. The opportunity for adequate schools and jobs, whether you are in an impoverished community, if you have complete streets, if you can walk outside in your neighborhood, what the crime looks like, all of these things, the social aspects of a person's life. And that is what has been determined through social science, through the Ohio Commission on Task Force on Infant Mortality, is the pinpoint of why our infant mortality rate is so much higher than any other states. You know, at one point, Ohio ranked 50 out of 50 for Black infant mortality, and we've only slightly moved up to maybe 47. Still, nowhere near where we should or where we want to be.
Representative Greta Johnson is the sponsor of the Abortion Access Without Apology legislation to try and reverse some of the restrictions that John Kasich has put into place as he's been governor. She spoke in support of Planned Parenthood.
This amendment does not address the absolute crisis public health departments will be put in when they can no longer contract with Planned Parenthood. If patients, my constituents, really are better served by other providers once Planned Parenthood is defunded, why am I being asked to dedicate another $250,000? And the only answer I can come up with is that I'm being sold a false bill of goods, because I know that Planned Parenthood really was doing the job of combating infant mortality. Planned Parenthood is the vehicle to get the resources to the areas and the communities that need it most. Planned Parenthood was doing the best job combating infant mortality. That is why they continued to receive the grant money year after year. Dangling this carrot, this amendment, using the cause of infant mortality prevention, and trying to, quite frankly, shame some of us who support Planned Parenthood into putting a yes vote to anything associated with this bill should fall short. Planned Parenthood did a fantastic job with their Healthy Moms, Healthy Babies initiative.
The final speaker on the bill was Representative Jeanine Boyd.
You know, I'm having a hard time with what's happening to kids right now. In Flint, sure, Michigan, but also here. I mean, we said yes to helping emancipated youth out of foster care, but we said we'll do it later. Some of you might know I'm actually an approved and waiting adoptive parent. I wait for a phone call every day. And our system is not set up for people like me who want to adopt. It's not easy. You know, but instead of spending time on that as legislators, you know, making the system work for kids, you know, funding departments of children and family services that are local so that there are more caseworkers to handle the caseloads they have and get kids in proper custody, whether it's with biological family or adopted parents or safe and healthy foster care families. You know, we don't spend time on that. We spend time on this. And we're not, I mean, regardless of the money that's put back through this amendment, we're not defunding abortion. That's not what you're doing. There are 24 health centers, Planned Parenthood health centers in Ohio. None of them perform abortions, 24. There are 3 surgical centers that, yes, do provide abortion, but people pay for their abortions out of pocket and through insurance. So we're not helping children that are here live longer with this amendment, and we are not You are not defunding abortion with this bill.
Representative Boyd was the last member to bring debate to the House floor. As she finished, the Speaker of the House called for the vote.
The question is, shall the Senate amendments be agreed to? House will prepare and proceed to vote. Have all members now voted? The clerk will take the roll.
59 affirmative votes, 32 negative.
59 affirmative votes, 32 negative votes. The Senate amendments are agreed to. Shame. Reports of House will stand at ease. The sergeants will.
The bill passed, and immediately after, we heard an outcry from the gallery. As soon as the shouting had started, the cameras and the video feed that we're getting the sound from immediately cut off. So the bill to defund Planned Parenthood now goes to Governor Kasich. He'll sign it sometime in the coming days. We don't exactly know when yet. NARAL Pro-Choice America has been collecting signatures on a petition to call for a veto to the bill. He's publicly stated that he will sign the bill. As soon as we know, we'll be posting information on social media. Folks can follow us on Twitter at ProChoiceOH and search for NARAL Pro-Choice Ohio on Facebook.